Boom!
Bomb Don Grillo! How you doing, my man?
I'm doing good, man. Here we are again with a Narco Report and again with a Chaparro exclusive. Now,
fuck yes, dude.
Crazy story following up on his mini leak interview, which made a big splash, went viral. And now we've got a new one, which is crazy. Equally crazy in many ways. So Luis Chaparro has an interview with a head of Sicarios, head of security. Now, it's very different from Miniliq, and this is an active cartel member still out there, which is one crazy part. And the second part is this guy's meant to be in federal prison. Mexico. So it's a bit of a crazy story. We're going to do all the details about this, about it's a kind of complicated, hot, controversial interview. But the thing is with this is a complete exclusive for Narco Report and for Crash Out Media. In the description below, you can click and read the interview in English or in Spanish. www.crashoutmedia.com. We'll give you the link right there in English or in Spanish. You can read half of it for totally free or some of the other crazy, crazy details if you subscribe. And we'll be talking here exclusively on this channel to break this about this interview with El Plaga. So let's get into this. Luis Chaparro. Like, where do we start with this? How did this first start coming about, this communication with the man known as the Plague?
Compa Grillo. So, yeah, here we are again. Crazy story. And basically what happened at the beginning was that I reached out to him before he was captured in 2022. I reached out to him, like, in 2021 because I watched his socials, right? This is a man that even though he is active in the streets, as you just said, like head of security, handling over 30, 35 henchmen for this organization, he is very active on social. He posts his watches, he posts all of the different stuff. We'll get into more of the details of the kind of crazy stuff he posts online. So I started like following him on Instagram and watching the kind of stuff he upped. I asked a couple of sources if they thought this was really El Plaga, because there's a lot of rumors, right? I reached out to him. Hey, viejo, quiero hablar con usted. Si está disponible, dígame dónde puedo comunicarme, right? Like, basically, hey, man, I just want to talk to you and let me know if there is a way to safely communicate. He never reached back. He never even read the message. I even let some posted some public comments on his photos and whatever, trying to get a hold of him. Nothing came back after the interview of Miniliq. I mean, that's when he said, like, okay, I'm gonna reach out to this guy. Allegedly, he asked permission from his boss, which we're gonna talk about his full organization later on. And he reached out. He said, like, hey man, what's up? I haven't read your message. Sorry. You have a secure messaging system or whatever that I can reach out to, send over my Signal phone, and yeah, I mean, he was there. You can tell by his voice that he's pretty young, right? At the beginning, we didn't turn on the camera, which is like a phone call, and I could tell he had a very young voice and very particular from Sinaloa, right? This Sinaloa accent. Eventually, I asked him to turn on his camera just to see if it was him. And this dude was behind that camera. This guy right here. He changed a couple of things, a couple of little details I can say because I don't want to. I mean, it's obvious that he doesn't want to be recognized by his, slight look modification, new look. And then we chat. We talk for over two, probably 3 hours about a bunch of different stuff. Interesting guy. And of course, he reached out because he read my interview with Miniliq. He was curious about what happened with that interview, how did it went, and how was it with Miniliq, whatever. But they also shared a common enemy, right? Los Chapitos. So yeah.
Okay, now this story is so kind of crazy. It kind of gets hard to unpack all of this stuff right away. So for people out there, so one thing to be clear is you have this communication with El Plaga. Now we want to give a slight caveat here, right? The officials say he's in federal prison right now. But there's very messy about this case. It was already brought to public attention going back to October that he missed a court hearing. A state prosecutor said no, he was transferred to federal prison. We checked the register and it doesn't really show a location. So we're just giving the public on this what the information we have. And this is a crazy narco war in Mexico. It's hard to know who or what to believe. So this person you talked on the video looks like the photos of El Plaga arrested. He showed an ID with his name, the one of the official names that they showed he was under. He knew details about this, and you geolocated the phone to Mexicali. Now, at the same time, there's some crazy stuff here. There could be something, there could be two people in the justice system. Some of the photos that they've put out in terms of mugshots, there's some slight discrepancies. Could there be two people in the system? Those are different names moving around. So there could be something, weird happening there that they could come back and say, we've got somebody in federal prison. He's this person and on what's going on. But this is what was out and reported. Now, tell people a little bit, like, who is the guy, who he works for, which cartel, who is his boss, which territories they're in, and what's his job?
Definitely. So, why I wanted to reach out to El Plaga is because he and his organization called Los Rusos, the Russians, headed by this man called El Ruso, who used to be right hand for El Mayo Zambada in Sinaloa, right? What I want to reach out because there was a lot of rumors after the first Culiacanazo. So in 2019, they try to capture a video. A lot of the chapitos and different factions come out. Turn the city upside down. They pull people out of prisons, whatever. You can find details about the Culiacanazo online. And then after that, we start to see like friction between the different factions of the Sinaloa cartel, right? The rumors that El Mayo was against Los Chapitos against El Ruso. And we started hearing those rumors until we see a major gunfight in Culiacán, just outside Culiacán, Agua Caliente, in a ranch outside Culiacán, that lasted like for 3 weeks. They kept battling and battling and battling. So it was a massive shooting. And they say it was Los Rusos against Los Chapitos. There was a massive breakup there. And then Los Rusos went to relocate to the Valle de Mexicali and try to own Mexicali and then San Luis Rio Colorado. So the rumors were like, okay, Chapitos won. They couldn't beat the Chapitos, and that's why they had to leave. So there was a lot of rumors about this. And in the center, in the middle of this whole thing happening, it was this guy, El Plaga. A lot of, audio recordings from the walkies they use. He was fighting with El Nini, and El Nini was like making fun of him. Yeah, we run you out of Culiacán, whatever, man. This is my fucking town. Get out of it from here. You ran like chickens, whatever. And then he started like reaching back, And so there was a lot of rumors, a lot of stuff. And he started publishing a lot of this stuff online on his own socials. So this is the main reason. El Plaga is one of four or five different heads of security that El Ruso has. Now, El Ruso used to work for El Mayo Zambada as his right hand. He formed his group with a bunch of henchmen. And then when the Culiacanazo happened, he got a rumor. I don't know if this is again, like he could even be paranoid and none of this was actually happening, or there is a possibility that this was actually true. He started hearing rumors that Los Chapitos wanted to turn him in to the government to leave Ovidio alone, right? That they wanted to make that truce according to what he heard. One night, he was at this funeral on his rancho. By there were a funeral from one of his henchmen who died during the Culiacanazo, And then a bunch of local police officers showed up saying, wait, we're here for a party. They told us there's a party here. Yeah.
Slow down in 1 second, if I may. Just for people who are not totally up to speed with the intrigues inside the Sinaloa cartel, because this is kind of quite deep infighting the Sinaloa cartel. So basically, you've got the Sinaloa cartel, is one of the big cartels in Mexico. Within the Sinaloa cartel, you have different factions and different players. One of the sides of the Chapitos, the Sons of El Chapo, the very, very powerful dominant side, and one of their head of security is El Nini, who was just arrested last Wednesday in Culiacan, which is kind of part of this whole crazy story. Another faction is Miles Zambada, the oldest, longest running trafficker. We've got a whole podcast talking about him and his life. And within him, he has an operator called El Russo. And El Plaga works for El Russo.
Exactly. So
now, one of these interviews gives, there's been a lot of this crazy infighting the last few years. It's been very confusing for journalists, for security analysts trying to make sense of this. But he gives a lot of the details. So as you were saying, how does this fight between El Russo and Los Chapitos, how does this play out?
Yeah, so it was basically this rumor. These guys showed up. Eventually, El Russo picked them up, picked all the 11 municipal officers and tortured them for 24 hours before leaving them out of the streets again, all beaten up. And actually, one of the comandantes was in coma, right? So that was like a major developments that started happening in Culiacán. And El Russo, at the end, El Mayo says, you know, you have to leave. You have to leave Culiacán because we can't live like this. I'll give you the whole border of Mexicali and San Luis Rio Colorado. You can be fine there. You know that town because he used to work for El Macho Prieto, another bigger player back then. Anyways, so he parts ways and El Mayo basically retires his backup. He's not backing up El Russo anymore. So now El Russo becomes independent. But this faction keeps fighting against Los Chapitos, and Los Chapitos still try to have a stronghold in Mexicali and the turf of Los Rusos.
So one of these, the crazy things is about the cartels, is you can have groups within the cartel who are like fighting each other, groups that are like independent, but there's still business going on between these people. So like if El Russo controls Mexicali, which is one of the most important border areas, there's been a lot of drugs crossing the Mexicali San Luis, Rio Colorado area into California. And so people can still, from the cartel, from Sinaloa, will still pay them their fee to move drugs through that plaza. But within that is like, I don't obey you, you don't obey me, I'm fighting him. And so that's kind of part of why these cartels are so hard to understand, yeah?
Yes, exactly. And I'm just saying like all these details to understand like how complex just one cartel is, right? Like the Sinaloa organization, the Sinaloa cartel, has a lot of complexity just inside the same factions and players. And, you know, so this is what happened. They go and they stay in Mexicali and they work as a stronghold there for Los Rusos. There are still people that call Los Rusos part of the Mayo Zambada organization, but this is a crucial part of the interview where El Plaga lays out that El Russo now has no buzz. And he is his own boss, and he's independent. The El Mayo Zambada is not fighting against, but he's just not backing him up anymore. So he's his own organization right now, which is, again, another complexity, because it is really difficult to say if Los Rusos are still Sinaloa cartel, even though they're not backed up by major players, or not. So this is the complexities of the things. And this is when I interview El Plaga, to add complexity to the story. I mean, we're still trying to actually pinpoint where he actually is right now. And if he is who he said he is, the man I saw in the video looked like this guy, just like that guy right here. Pretty young man, same hair, same eyes. You know, he has like these half closed eyes, like if he's very marijuana, you know, and his pointy nose. Literally him with a bit of change of looks, and he had a bunch of details, and he looked like he was in a pickup truck. There was not a lot to see because his phone was vertical, right, on vertical position. So the vision was very narrow to his face. He was holding his phone with his hand, and you can only see part of the seating without any brand of the vehicle, whatever. Just it was at night also. So you can see him dressed in civilian clothes, you know, just like a t-shirt, dark car. You can see like the little dim light of the vehicle. And yeah, that was literally everything I could see. So, and again, I reached out to authorities in Baja California, in Chihuahua, Tamaulipas, different places where they say he was being detained. Most of these states, even the fiscal de Baja California, la fiscal, the general attorney of Baja California state, where Mexicali sits, she assured that she has proof that El Plaga is behind bars. This is the weird thing. Just over a month ago, he had to present himself for his first hearing under a federal court in Mexicali, where he was supposed to be. He didn't show up. So the judge asked the attorneys, like, hey, okay, find him. And no one could get a hold of him. And then he said, like, okay, he didn't present, he didn't show, so he just posted no show. Again, if he is in federal custody, even if he's in Oaxaca, whatever they say he is, he was supposed to let the attorneys was supposed to let all of these guys know, right, that he was, oh no, you know what, he was actually moved to Oaxaca, so let's just move his hearing to Oaxaca. They didn't. It was just a no-show. They stopped the whole hearings, and they forgot about the case. You know, no one said anything. The fiscal said, we moved him to Oaxaca. I have all proof that he's there. We have no proof on the National Detention Registry. Doesn't show up where he is. And he said during this interview that he was set free just 3 days after he was put in jail.
Now, so what this story shows and highlights, you know, whatever the truth with this is, how insane, opaque, and dysfunctional the Mexican justice system is. Because how can you have a guy that suddenly you can't locate? How's a guy, you know, a very credible interview with a guy who's driving around in a pickup truck saying, yeah, I'm operating, is meant to be in prison. And this doubt there of not, you know, finding this guy. And then we've got the, you know, what's happened before this. So we've seen, you know, this January, massive prison escape in Ciudad Juarez, and, you know, showing what the prison was like and how they were running the prison inside and they killed all the guards. El Chapo escaping twice and through a tunnel. And even cases like in 2010, when you had in Durango prisoners going out, taking the guards' guns, carrying out massacres in Coahuila State and then returning to cells. So the justice system is crazy. Now, one thing which is very interesting about this interview and about the figure of El Plaga, El Nini, these are a new generation of narco heads of hitman. He's like 24 years old. He would have turned 18 right when Felipe Calderon's crackdown on drug cartels had already been going on for more than 10 years. So he came up with this. And his world is Instagram, new corridos, but also cumbia raps,
yeah.
which we'll get into, and exotic animals on social media, including a pet monkey, so which is kind of crazy. So tell us about what is the world, you know, how do you talk about some of these references? What do you make of the way his world is, and what are some of these features you found out about El Plaga?
Definitely. So El Plaga, it's a very interesting character, or whoever he is, right? We're still trying to find out. But anyway, this is an interesting character because he, as you said, he grew up during the Calderon war fight, whatever. But also he was growing up when this group called Los Antrax were at the peak, right? Was one of the first armed group of sicarios working for El Mayo Zambada that were huge on social. It was probably one of the first criminal groups that had, you know, massive Instagram accounts, Twitter accounts, Facebook accounts, where they were posting their watches, their cars, their parties, you know, the woman, even El Chino Antrax, one of the leaders of the founders of the Antrax group. He had a photo with Paris Hilton at some point. So this is a crazy fucking world, right? And so this guy grew up watching this and listening to the corridos for Los Antrax. That's, he told me that was the first reason and main reason why he wanted to join a cartel, right? He was like, dude, I just wanted to be an Antrax. So I went, he was born in Culiacán. So he went on with a couple of friends to El Changuito Antrax, one of the members, and applied for a job. Basically, he was like, hey, dude, I want to work with you guys. I want to be an Antrax. And then he said, like, you know what? With the Antrax, you're not even going to make that amount of money. I mean, go to the border. I'll talk to Aquiles and El Rana, two major players of the same faction down in Tijuana. They'll give you your first job. So he traveled to Tijuana, and they immediately hired him as a young sicario, right? They were probably thinking that he was not going to be lasting long. He was one of the front men that they used to go on fights and whatever. But again, these are kids that on their minds, they try to prove themselves. They try to prove their loyalty. They try to prove their braveness. They try to prove the use of weapons. So he started taking the guns, protecting his bosses no matter what. And he started making a background of or a halo of being violent, like extremely violent. That's where he got his nickname, El Plaga, the plague, right? Because he leaves no one alive, just like a plague. That's where why people started mocking him, saying like, oh, dude, you're just like a fucking plague. You're leaving no one alive. And so he grabbed that and he made that his persona, right? Like, okay, I'm El Plaga and I'm the head of security and I will give my life for my bosses. So that this is how this guy grew up until right now. He has his own corridos, his own narco corridos, his own cumbias, and his own cumbia raps, which is different genres. That he also has like some raps, you know, like some hip hop songs dedicated to El Plaga. Online, he shares, you know, wealthy, expensive, luxury watches like Hubbles, Rolex, all these kind of stuff. Cars, vehicles, fancy dinners, traveling. Even he, after he was said to be arrested, when a local news outlet said no one can find El Plaga in Mexicali, he posted a photo on his Instagram, and he was driving around Guadalajara, right in Zapopan. Right, you could see the fancy buildings and whatever. He was driving through Zapopan, so probably to say, hey guys, what do you mean you can find me? I'm right here, you know, I'm in Guadalajara state. I don't know what he was doing there. So this is a flashy guy who grew up with a generation of flashy people that are all extinct. I think there is no Antrax alive to this day. So, and now he's kind of like his own kind of Antrax thing, you know?
Like, yeah, using the whole idea of Antrax disease and it becomes plague and it's kind of related to that. Now, he, as he told you, joined at 13 years old when he first got recruited into the cartels, which is crazy, but it's not uncommon. And we have people like Juanito Pistolas over in Tamaulipas. There was raps about him. He had his head blown off when he was 17 by the military. So these people often, they're cannon fodder, and he survived and grew up. Now, why? A lot of people will be like, why are these guys on Instagram? If you're an active criminal wanted by the government, why are you on Instagram? Why are you showing off? Why are you getting songs commissioned about you? So what's the psychology behind that?
So I think these guys, you know, they live in the shadows, but at the same time, just imagine making that amount of money when you're 24, having that amount of weapon and having, you know, over 30 other kids at your service. You make a call, they all go up in fire and arms, right? And then you serve for this major player that you see in the news, and he's El Ruso, he's the head of the Rusos, whatever. So I think they want to show off. You know, I asked him like, hey, dude, but why Instagram? Why are you so huge on Instagram? He's like, dude, I'm not sharing anything illegal. I'm not sharing anything that's gonna get me in trouble. I'm not sharing, you know, literally said, like, I'm not sharing beheadings. I'm not sharing torture, that kind of stuff that he allegedly does, but he doesn't show on Instagram. He's like, I'm just showing my mis lujitos, right? Like my luxury life, my watches, my pets. He recently posted a video of a scar, right? This is this very expensive weapon. If you look for a scar online, it's over 150,000 pesos, which is I mean, even in the US side, and then Mexican side, it's twice that amount. Very powerful gun used by the US military. And all around the gun was a narco pet. I mean, a narco monkey, like a small narco monkey, this mono araña, right? Spider monkey, using a diaper and grabbing the scar with curiosity, just folding his tail around the scar. And dude, it was mind blowing. It's like, what the fuck? Wait, why do you have a monkey? I asked him, like, what's up with the monkey guy? Like, what's up with that? He shared the story. You can read that online as well. I'm gonna give you that part of the story to go to crashoutmedia.com and find out what he said about his narco monkey. But this is the kind of dude that he wants to show up his luxury without, you know, getting, quote unquote, getting in trouble. This is problematic for authorities, right? Because it shows how these kind of people can be out there, so flashy, so present, social, and at the same time working with the protection of several authorities, right?
So, also, when you see he has like 60,000, now there's a weird thing with his Instagram accounts. Like sometimes you can't tell if they're real narcos or somebody else just taking photos and putting them up there and pretending to be who want to like play that. But some of them look very, very genuine. And they're also having a big influence. I mean, this makes them narcos, but also social media influencers. So that, you know, that has an impact. What kind of impact does that have, do you think, in like Mexicali, Sierra Juarez, Sinaloa, and in these places where you've got young people on the internet seeing this stuff?
Yeah, dude, absolutely. That's the thing. I mean, I'm strongly against the thought that music like narcocorridos call grab kids from the streets and make them try to become sicarios until I interviewed Oplaga. So I was like, when he literally said it was the narcocorridos about the anthrax that draw me to try to be an anthrax, and now he's a fucking plaga, you know? So I'm like, so I mean, I'm probably wrong with that opinion, right? And I think it is doing the same, it's having the same effect. Guys like El Plaga going huge on Instagram, showing luxury, showing money. It doesn't show when, you know, when he was arrested, he was beaten up. He doesn't show when he got friends killed, like El Benny was killed right next to him. Doesn't show when the gunfights are pretty strong or when he has a close call of getting killed or getting ambushed or whatever. That's kind of, he only shows the luxury, right? And so other kids in Juarez, Mexicali, whatever in Mexico, probably even in the US, they're following this Instagram account. It's huge, 60,000 followers, and showing up with, Ferraris, Lambos, expensive dinners, traveling, private airplanes, luxury watches, money, guns. You know, like it looks like a fucking fun life to have, you know? If you only go by what you see on Instagram, I guess my 24-year-old self will be like, oh, dude, I want to be El Plaga. You know, looks like fucking fun. But I think it definitely has a stronger impact on kids than the narcocorridos, because this is a private Instagram account. This is a live, quote unquote, of a human being that you're watching live, basically, right?
Now, he's also massive in a lot of songs. So we talked about corridos, cumbia rap, raps. Now, other artists, there's some artists, you know, Peso Pluma, one of the biggest, most successful Mexican artists of the entire history. I mean, yeah. This guy is like top, you know, Spotify. I mean, huge. I mean, he's up there really with, you're talking about like, maybe like in terms of, you know, numbers, Vicente Fernandez kind of level.
Probably even more, yeah.
Maybe even more like in terms of real sales now. It's the whole of Latin America, you know, the United States and beyond. And he's got songs which are, you know, allegedly, I'll say, about El Nini.
Mm-hmm.
or about people from the Chapitos organization. El Plaga hasn't got quite that level of artist, but he's got some pretty big. He's got songs out there with a couple of million views on YouTube, some pretty big songs. What do you make of the narco corridos? Did he talk much about the corridos? Is he pleased with these? Is he, you know, really into this stuff? Or
What he said. It's he is always. I mean, he said all the narco corridos have to be approved. Like there's no artist that will have his name or his nickname or a song you know, making a wink that it's talking about him without his approval. And he's like, all of us, we order these narco corridos or these narco rock songs. Or sometimes they reach out, say like, hey, dude, can I write a song for you? And then you say like, yeah, I'm going to give you some details that I want on your song. So they give details about their lives, and then these guys start writing, and then they show him like the, you know, the rough cut of the song, and they have to be approved to the very end until like, okay, this sounds great. This is the song I like. Otherwise, you're going to get threatened, right? Like, why are you singing a song about me allegedly by El Plaga? He's like, no, there's not a single song about me or El Nini or Ovidio or Ivan or El Chapo, whatever, that wasn't approved by the same people or at least by the same faction, right? So this is how this music industry works by El Plaga's words, right? This is how it's said. So basically, most of the songs we hear about El Plaga are approved by himself. You know, this is how the business works.
I mean, that's crazy. I mean, when we get to, you know, how much they're influencing major record, you know, artists on major record labels, and this is a message, you know, this message is approved by the
Cellular. literally, dude, like, yes. Like,
they're approving a message which goes out mass audience. So it's incredible influence on the culture. Now, the last 5 or so minutes, couple of things here. So one is go through Crazy Story, or from this guy's version of the story about how he got arrested and then how he got out of jail.
Yeah, so he said he was literally partying, I think it was a Friday night, on a club in Mexicali. Mexicali, it's a small city, so you can imagine that there are not a lot of like clubs. So he's widely known. He's 60,000 followers. I guess a lot of people in Mexicali knows him, right? So he was at this club with El Tio Benny, his right hand, a guy who was really close to him. Then they went out of this club like at 7 in the morning. They were all drunk. They had huge, you know, like large guns on his vehicle. They didn't have an escort because he was like, I don't really need to. I own this fucking place. It's Mexicali. So they were just driving on the Plaga's Jeep. He had this Jeep Wrangler 4x4, white, you know, black tires, and a very flashy vehicle in Mexicali. And while they were driving out, a local police tried to stop them. And he immediately knew that these guys are not municipal, because otherwise they would know who I am. They know my car. They know my whatever. So he knew it was a different police, you know, a different law enforcement agency, state police. And so he was like, you know what? Let's not make this, you know, bigger. I'm just going to stop. And then El Tio Benny, they were, of course, very high on coke. The autopsy of El Tio Benny allegedly said that he had fentanyl and cocaine on his system. So probably, very probably, El Plaga was having some as well. El Plaga got out of the car. Tio Benny got out of the car, but then Tio Benny grabbed his gun and started shooting these officers. They killed him right on the spot. El Tio Benny dropped to the ground. The El Plaga's Jeep got stuck in the mud. And in the mud, and then El Plaga began running. They grabbed him, they kicked his ass, took a mugshot where you can see his face all shattered. You know, his nose was broken, his lips were, you know, bleeding and whatever, and put him in jail. It's like, okay, no one communicated anything. Like, I didn't see even attorneys, authorities, nothing. They just locked me in jail, and I stayed there without communication to anyone, with anyone, during 3 days. On the third day, these officers showed up, said like, hey, Plaga, you're leaving. It's time to go. They just opened my cell, gave me back my belongings, my tennis shoes and other stuff, my clothes, and they let me out. And I asked him like, well, but did you negotiate? Did you pay someone? He's like, I think that was El Russo. That was my boss who made an agreement to ask for my freedom, right? I'm like, do you know how much did he pay? And he's like, no, I mean, I don't know. I'm just guessing that was El Russo. No one said anything. They just told me, you're free to go. So I went out, El Russo called, all good, you good? Yeah, we're all good. Okay, back to work, man. And he's out in the streets.
Crazy. So, I mean, so he's out there now. I mean, you know, absolutely nuts story. You know, falling on the back of Menelik going to have another big impact. How are you feeling, Lewis? You're kicking some, kicking a lot of stuff these days with the journalistic stuff. Are you feeling okay? You're keeping
Yeah.
up. All out for Menelik hasn't been too bad.
I mean, it's still iffy, you know, because I mean, I'm not interviewing fucking NFL players or whatever. It's these kind of people that they also share a common enemy, Los Chapitos. So by putting this kind of stuff out, I some of the Chapitos, not even their own people, you know, some of the Chapitos fanboys, they believe that, okay, so you're literally against these guys, right? One of the Chapitos, one of the people that are close around the Chapitos faction that he could call himself Chapitos, reached out with an exchange of messages. Wasn't really gruesome. I thought honestly that it was, I'm not gonna reveal the details of the message, it was a private message, but there is communication now within that faction. And I think they pretty much, for what I understand by this man that is speaking on behalf of Los Chapitos, that there is no, yeah, there is no animosity. You know, there is nothing like against me for writing this stuff. They just want to also say version of how things happen and stuff. He just told me that they're waiting for the right time to do so. So probably eventually we're going to, you know, have another cool fucking story here. But I mean, it's a thin line that you're you know, because at the same time, it's like, is this really him? Is this really El Plaga, El Minilik, and then these guys, and then, you know, different sources? So it's a very thin line to work.
Yeah, well, I mean, there you've got it. So check it out. Check out the story. Link below in English or Spanish or whatever your first language or language of preference is. www.crashoutmedia.com. Subscribe to this channel. Subscribe to Lewis's channel, which is
Luis Chaparro, CHAPARRO on YouTube.
Keep following us. Contributions, subscriptions to Crash Out Media, well appreciated, so that we can make this happen and do what the real mainstream media are struggling to cover with this insane narco war. Check out all Lewis's socials and where to contribute and help Lewis keep safe and keep well and keep bringing this good stuff. And like he was saying, we're not on anybody's side. Chapitos, Russos, Damaso, DA, Mexican government, which is bringing and covering the news, covering these stories. It's a really important issue. So keep checking this out. All best. Peace out.
Absolutely, my man. Thanks a bunch again. And let's keep breaking it on crashoutmedia.com, bro.
Boom. Reverse boom. Outro boom.